Okay, praise God. I'm going to speak about Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus. That's the subject the Spirit of God put on my heart to talk about. I'm going to talk about, one day I was just meditating and the Spirit of God whispered to me, Jesus is the revealer of the mystery of God. Jesus, the revealer of the mystery of God. Job chapter 11 from verse 7. I'm going to use a lot of scriptures because it's in the scriptures we find him. So you would have to keep up with me. Put the scripture down and then read it later. Job 11, 7 to 9. It says, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the seas. The mysteries of God and the limits of the Almighty are higher than the heavens, deeper than the depths. You remember I was saying the other day, that when the Malaysian plane fell in the sea, they said the part it fell was how many miles deep? And no man can go there and live. And it's saying that the mysteries of God are deeper than the depths below. And they are longer than the earth and wider than the seas. So who can fathom the mysteries of God? In Exodus chapter 33, verses 19 to 23, God said to Moses, Moses had made a request, show me your glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, there is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So we have a situation of God that, who dwells in mystery. A mystery that is higher than the heights, the heavens. And that is deeper than the depths, longer and wider. No one can fathom him. Yet, when he chooses to even reveal himself, he's so awesome that we cannot even see his face. Israel walked in the desert with this unfathomable God. Israel walked with this God whose face you cannot see and live. They walked in terror. The nations feared him, the God of the Israelites. No human being knew him. And yet, we call him our God. Not only that, we call him our Father. He said to Moses, there is a rock by me, and I will hide you in that rock as I pass by and cover you that you cannot have a revelation of me. His character was proclaimed to Moses. His nature was proclaimed to Moses, but Moses could not see him because Moses was covered. And in the covering, Moses had to be hidden in the rock before he could even have that experience with God. That rock was Jesus Christ and still is Jesus Christ. He is our rock upon which we stand to see God. But the Spirit of God said, Jesus is what? The revealer of the mystery of God. For Moses was hidden in that rock that he might have an experience with God. But for us, that rock has revealed God to us. I'm going to talk about six areas in which Jesus reveals God to us. I'll treat three today and three next week. First of all, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Secondly, he is the fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Thirdly, he is the Word of God. Number four, he is Emmanuel, God with us. Number five, he is the Son of God. Six, he is God. Today I'm going to treat the first three, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Thirdly, that Jesus is the Word of God. But my question to you at this moment is, do you know Jesus? And if you know Jesus, what do you know about Jesus? Because your revelation of Jesus is no different from your revelation of God. The unfathomable God has revealed himself through Jesus. How you see Jesus is how you see God. For many of us, he's our personal idol. He's our personal provider. He's our teddy bear that we cuddle and bring comfort. Mm-hmm. For many of us, he's our provider. We need this, we need that. He gives it to us. We see him as mine. He's mine, my Jesus. In fact, yesterday I was reading about the songs, some of the songs of late, which are so theologically wrong. The person said, it's on Premier Radio website, that some even, he called it the me songs. It's all about me. Above all power, above all things, above all everything, he was crucified, laid behind a stone. And as all that was happening, he thought of me above the earth, above creation, above, it was me. Me. So Jesus exists for me. And that's wrong theology. It is wrong theology. Hallelujah. Amen. God exists for himself and himself alone. Does God love us? Yes, he loves us. He loved us enough to give us Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But there was a time when God was willing to clear everybody on the earth. There was a time when we hadn't even been created. When you study the scriptures carefully, you will realize that God, even before God created man, God had already brought Jesus on the earth. So God's plan is bigger than me. God's plan it extends beyond me, my needs, and my situation, my thoughts, and my limitation. It goes beyond me. And if until I have a revelation of Jesus that goes beyond me and myself, my revelation of God will be limited. We often experience fear. We experience inadequacy. We're confused. And all of it comes, even though we are believers, from this perception and this limitation we put on ourselves in how we see our Savior. Who is Jesus to you? It's something you need to ponder over. For some, he's a model they are following. But Jesus is not a model. He's a life we are living. Jesus Christ is a life we are living. Hallelujah. Who is Jesus to you? That's a question that you will have to ponder over from here. Because to know Jesus is to know God. First, I want to talk about Jesus as the image of the invisible God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. Now, if I think of image, you might think it's a photo. In which case, you will say, oh, my photo is not me. It's just a caption of what I look like on paper. So my photo, for instance, cannot stand here and speak to you. So if we think of Jesus being the image of God as like me and my picture on paper, then we will be limited in understanding. An image, by definition, is a representation of the external form of a thing in art. So the external form, that's a general basic definition of image. The external form of a thing drawn in art. But Jesus is more than the external form of God. Because we don't even know what form God is. And Jesus did not come in the form of God. He came in the form of man. So how is Jesus the image of God? Unlike another definition, an image is an optical appearance or counterpart produced by light from an object reflected in a mirror or refracted through a lens. It's an optical, a visual appearance or a counterpart, that is an equivalent, a foil. You know, you remember when we used to use carbon paper, and the carbon paper would reproduce what is on the, yes. So that, in that sense, it's the same thing. It's a counterpart. It goes together with it. It corresponds to this. So Jesus is what? A correspondent of God in terms of image. And it's produced by light from the object. So from God, the light that projects from God projects the image of God through Christ Jesus. With this, it's more than the physical form of Jesus, of God, that we see. In computing, an image is an exact copy of the computer's hard drive made for backing up data or setting up new machines. So if you back up the image of your computer, when you get a new computer and you upload it, you will get exactly the same computer as what you lost. Is it making sense? So in this sense, it helps us understand better when we say that what? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Amen. It's the exact copy of the invisible God. It's a counterpart, a foil of the invisible God. And I'm talking about the Jesus who walked on this earth, who is now seated in glory. Hallelujah. So, image, alike, similar. Amen. Now, I want to say this. We're saying he's the image of the invisible God. The divine nature and image of that we're talking of, it's not like an idol. Because people make images. And that was why God said to the Israelites, do not make any form or image. Don't do it. So when God was coming, he did not violate his word. He came as himself. Totally. He did not make a human being image and put himself in it. Man was already created anyway in the image of God. That's why Jesus did not come as a cow or a pig, but he came as man who was already created in the image of God. And that image, of course, is now faulty. God did not violate his word, but came in his fullness. Acts chapter 17, verse 29. It says, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. We are not to think that way. We are not to think that way. That the divine image is like Aaron building a golden calf and saying, here is your God. But sometimes we do. Sometimes in our hearts, in our minds, in our experiences, in our whatever, we fail to make Jesus the express image of God to us. And we replace it with other things. It may not be in gold, silver, or stone, but what we devote our times to, what we becomes our focal point, or what becomes the link to God, instead of Jesus, becomes an image and an idol. He is not an idol. Yes. Neither is he hanging on the cross we wear around our necks, or a cross we have in our room as a point of contact. He is a whole human being. He was, he is now seated in glory. He's seated in glory still as man and as God. And simply because he is God. So I said that the divine image is not like an idol. Rather, is God himself coming down and revealing himself in human form. John chapter 1 verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him. None of us have seen God at any time, but Jesus has made him known. John 14 verse 9. Jesus answered Philip and said, don't you know me? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, don't you know me even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Are you with me? It's like a husband and a wife say, if you've seen me, you've seen my husband. Because they're one. They're one. There's a couple I love dearly, and they're saying, somebody went to the wife and asked them a question about something and for something, and the wife gave the answer. And then later, the person was with somebody and they met the husband. And the one he was with said to him, don't bother asking him. He will tell you exactly what she said. Because they are one. Even though they seem to be in different units, they are one. They have one mind. It's just an example of what we are talking about. Jesus said, if you have seen me, it didn't mean that God is this man who walks, No. He's saying, if you have encountered me, if you have seen my character, my nature, if you have seen and heard, you have seen God. Because the Father is in me and I am in him. As the image of God, Jesus Christ reveals the character, the essence, and the glory of God in a corresponding way. Are you with me? Jesus reveals, if God, Jesus is good, it corresponds. It's not a measure of goodness. He is good. He's as much good as God is. If God is merciful, let me see. He reveals God, God's mind, God's character, God's glory, God's essence in a corresponding way. He is that foil of God. Jesus reveals the multifaceted nature of God. Compassionate, merciful, gracious, kind, and long-suffering, yet all-powerful, just, hates sin and will judge all flesh. Jesus reveals all of that. That's why he can heal the sick, feed 1 minute, the next minute is in the temple with a whip lashing them. if your picture of Jesus is just this pretty boy, this teddy bear, this gentle Jesus, meek and mild, then you have a wrong picture of God. Then you have trouble with when God judges. Hallelujah. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus revealed to us the love of God, all-consuming love, unconditional love, sacrificial yet unquenchable and stronger than death love. Jesus was that love. That love that hung on the tree, that carried the cross till the end. That was God in action. Hallelujah. So Jesus reveals to us who God is, because he is the image of God. As the image of God, he is God. You know, the computer, for instance, the image, when you make a copy of the image of the computer, the computer is not that shell, the shell that we put it in. No. That is why you can take that image and after you've made a copy of it and put it in another shell, and you will still have your computer. This is Jesus and God. He is God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, it says that even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What did that definition say? It says that what? An image is an optical copy which is made with what? Light. Light. The light shines and it projects it. So if they are not seeing it, there is no light. There is no light. If they are visually impaired, if they cannot see Jesus, who is the image of God, then the light is not shining to project him, to reveal him that this is God. Hallelujah. So Jesus, the revealer of the mystery of God, he is the image of God. Look to Jesus and you will see God. Amen. Jesus said that the issue we have is about the gaze of the soul. What is my soul fixed on? What is my soul fixed on? Because if my soul, I can fix my gaze upon him, I will see God. And it requires faith. It requires faith. The assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things we do not see. For our souls, our mind, which is the greatest challenge, our intellect, our emotions, to fix and then fixing on him, see God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come to the second point. Jesus, the revealer of the mystery of God. The Bible says that in Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, in bodily form. So he is the fullness of the Godhead in body form. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The NIV says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So we are seeing that the bodily form is the man with the head, with arms and but within this bodily form dwells the totality of the Godhead. I want to make several points on this point. Colossians 1:19 says, for God was so pleased, it was pleasure, he was excited to have his fullness dwell in Christ. For God was pleased. It wasn't something he did reluctantly. He so wanted man to see him. He so wanted to be accessible to man. Not just man being the contact with creation. Man being the one to whom custody had been given. Man who was a sinner by this time. It pleased the Father that Jesus will come as man. And in him, his fullness, the fullness of the Godhead will dwell. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. I want us to look at, briefly at something. Moses had a tabernacle in which God came to dwell in the ark between the cherubim. Solomon had a temple where God's glory came and filled. Israel, God moved in the with Israel and was in their midst, dwelt in their midst through the ark and by his spirit. Even with the church, the presence of God is with us. But with Jesus, it is different. All these are shadows and types. They were limited by measure, and they were not perfect. With Moses, it was, my present, even now, I won't even come. Let my angel go with you. And Moses began to beg. The presence is not the person. And we have the presence. The presence was in the ark, was in the cherub. And in Solomon's temple, with Israel, with the church, is the same. But these are limited. And the presence is given by measure, and it's not perfect. Now, it's not God's presence which is not perfect in us, but we are so imperfect that even our perceptions and understanding and interaction with it is imperfect. But with Jesus, the Godhead dwells in fullness without limit, without measure, and is in perfection. He dwells without, in fullness, without limit, without measure, and in perfection. God's self-existing and eternal being dwells in Christ Jesus, the man we call our friend. The man we walk with, God is self-existing. I am that I am. And he's eternal. His self-existing and eternal being dwells in Jesus in fullness. His omnipotence dwells in Jesus. His omnipresence is in Jesus. His omniscience is in Jesus. It dwells. Everything that Godhead consists of is in Jesus. His holiness, purity, and perfection dwell in Christ. His authority. He said all authority. If he's got all authority, is there anything outside of that? All authority has been given to me. Power and might dwell in Christ. God's sovereignty, majesty, and glory dwell in Christ. His wisdom, knowledge, and truth dwell in Christ. Even the Holy Spirit showed me that God's dual nature as man and woman, which with us he put in separate containers, in Christ come together. That's why in him there is neither male nor female. God hasn't separated himself in him. The only separation is that he's the head, we are the body, the bride and the bridegroom. But the image of God as male and female in Christ. So there is no schism in Christ. There is no, it's a full image of Christ. That's why whether we are male or we are female is irrelevant. In him, we have the fullness the Godhead. We are made one in him. God dwells in fullness and totality in Christ. Now, do you know the exciting thing, what makes this possible? That God's power, omnipotence, holiness, purity, authority, sovereignty, wisdom, all of this will dwell in Christ. Do you know what that makes this possible? Because Christ is God. He is God. It's as simple as that. He is God. That is why he has all the attributes, the qualities, the fullness of the Godhead in himself. He is God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, we have been made complete in him. We have been made complete in him. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. He came and lived amongst us in the fullness of God. And it says what? And of his fullness we have received what? Grace upon grace. That's our benefit of knowing him, of being a part of him, that we also are receiving of the same fullness, grace upon grace. Grace over grace. More and more grace. Hallelujah. That we are being changed in his image. We're being transformed. If you understand this, then you will understand the transformation that is going on in our life. That in my transformation, I am being made like God. I am being made like God. Hallelujah. We are complete in him. We are complete in him. I am complete in this Jesus, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. John chapter 14, verse 23 says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come and make our abode. We will come and dwell in you. Is that possible? Yes. Yes. Love him. Love him. Keep his word. You'll find his spirit, his indwelling spirit, transforming you. And the same qualities, the same attributes of God being formed in you. We are made complete in him. Hallelujah. So I've said that what? Jesus, the revealer of the mystery of God. He is the image, express image of God. He is not dependent on the amount of ink you have, or whether your printer is good or bad. When you have a bad printer and you print sometimes, the image is not clear. No. He came just as God. That's why, like I said, I like the other two definitions. The computer one and then the optical visual copy, the foil. Then we said what? In him, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. So God is revealed through him. Because in him, the Godhead, fullness of the Godhead dwells. So you see Jesus. That's why he could say to Philip, have I been this long with you? And you say, still say you don't know the Father. Because if you have seen me, you have seen him. If you have seen me, you have seen God. Number three, and then we'll leave the other three for next week. Jesus is the Word of God. He's a revealer of the mystery of God. The God we do not know, who projected himself to us that we might see him through Jesus Christ, the image. Who in Christ Jesus did not withhold. You see, with the Son, we can look at the Son. The heavens declare the glory of God. God, the firm, and we can see that indeed what it means that God is light. We can see what it means that God is faithful, because the sun has not changed its course from the day God put it there. But we can't tell about God's compassion by looking at the sun. Hallelujah. But we can tell by turning to the word. The law of the Lord is perfect. It makes wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The commandment of the Lord is true. More to be desired are thereby than gold. Even much fine gold. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. God has revealed himself to us through his word. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and then verse 14. Verses 1 to 5 and verse 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the word, verse 14, became flesh. This word who was in the beginning with God. This word who was God. This word through whom all things came into being. And there was nothing that exists that did not come. This microphone, the components of the microphone, if you break it down to what was used, it came into being by the word. Hallelujah. And it says that in that word, who is what? Life. And this life is light. The light that shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. This word became flesh. This word put on flesh. This word put on human form. This word came into being as a human being. And we saw him. We beheld the glory of the word as the glory of the only begotten Son. So the identity of the word, not just any human being, but the Son of God, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Now I want to say several things about the word to show us how Jesus revealed God to us. We all know that God created all things. He is a creator. That's one way in which to identify him from the other so-called gods. He alone is the creator. All things came into being. Yesterday, I was listening to on Premier Radio on Saturdays. They have a program on apologetics. It's very, very interesting. And this man was talking, and he was talking about an interesting conversation he had with some atheists. Because those who do not believe in creation, the non-creationists, believe that we came from mud. The mud pie swimming suddenly evolved, and we kept evolving, and we kept changing, and we kept somehow we became. For them, that is easier to believe than that there is a sovereign being. But the interesting thing he said is this: somehow, suddenly, this mud pie that has evolved into a human being suddenly believes there is God. A sudden that there must be something, and he believed in a monotheist God, like there is one God. But as he looks around, he begins to see him in the mountain, see him in the hills, the river, the stream. Then he understands that no, he's not only one, he's many. Hallelujah. He's many gods. And in the course of it, he began to realize actually there is no God. The map by that fish has come a long way. Come a long way. Can you imagine They find it easier to believe that than to believe that God exists and He created the whole world. Hallelujah. God created all things as the Word. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. It's very clear in John chapter 1 that it was through the Word all things were created. So you can look at anything and see God. You can look at anything and see everything God has created. Go back to the basics that God has created. Look at the tree and you will see God in there. And if you see that tree, look at the source of that tree. It came from the Word. And God said. And God spoke. So Jesus, the Word of God, created all things. Jesus, the Word of God, also took on flesh. Became manifested. So the Creator came into manifestation. And the Creator is God. Came into manifestation. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, underline heard, which we have seen, underline seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, underline looked upon, and our hands have handled, underline that, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. They saw Him. They spoke to Him. They touched Him. He came into manifestation. He was revealed and could now be handled with our five senses. Jesus made God accessible. That's why I say that if you want to know Jesus, get to the Word. You cannot love Jesus and not love the Word. Some people are love Jesus, but they do contrary to the Word. It's not possible. Jesus, the Word of God, took on flesh. And John was saying that he was from the beginning, but they heard Him. They saw Him with their own eyes. They looked upon Him and their hands touched concerning Him the Word. The life that was made manifested, they have seen, so they can testify. They can testify, they can bear witness, and they can declare. Hallelujah. I think that's the test of how we see Jesus. We are now selling the world a gospel which is unto death. Because we are telling them, oh, this, come to Jesus, he will help you with this. Come to Jesus, become a problem solver. Rather than God. God doesn't exist just to solve our problems. Otherwise, with a flick of a finger, it would have just been. God is King. God is God. God is sovereign. God rules on high. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and we have the privilege of being a part of it. The Word took on flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus revealed God. Amen. As the Word of God, Jesus said, I have declared the Father. In John 1:18, He said, the only begotten Son, no one has seen God, but the Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared Him. He has proclaimed the Father. They, until then, the Jews could not, never call God as Father. He was distant to them. He was God. Jesus made him personal. He brought us into relationship with him. Jesus revealed God not as this distant person who you have to tremble before, and but Jesus revealed him as the Father and declared him to us. The Word declared him to us. I want to say, fourthly, that as God's Word, Jesus is the final, God's final word to humanity. As the Word, Jesus is God's final word to humanity. There is nothing more God has to say. Absolutely nothing more God has to say. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. Sorry, 1 to 2. God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And has, sorry, let me start. God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. In the past, God sent so many prophets. God spoke in diverse ways, spoke in through so many people. God spoke in judgment. God spoke even at one time to a foreign king. God spoke by writing on the wall. God would send a prophet to his people. God would even spoke through a donkey once. But all of that has ceased, and God has spoken through his Son. The word spoken is in the past participle. It's a verb form that indicates a past complete action of time. Do you get me? So a verb is a doing word, is an active word. But it's in a form that indicates completion. It's still a motion, but it's been completed. God has spoken. God has spoken. It's finished. He has spoken, is accomplished, and what has already been completed is still in action and in force and motion. Whatever God said through Christ is still valid till date. Therefore, God has finished speaking, completed, and perfected his message to the world and creation. Are you with me? God has finished speaking. The message is now perfect. The antitype is here. All the types have passed. Now the real has come. And God has finished speaking. God has no other thing to say and no other one through whom to say it than his Son. And what he has spoken through his Son is finished. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God's final word. Now Matthew chapter 3 verse 17 and Luke 3:21 talk about Jesus' baptism. And at his baptism, the Spirit of God came down and identified Jesus as the Son of God. So we know his identity, that he is the Son of God. If God is saying, the Bible is saying that God now speaks, has spoken through his Son, who is the Son? Jesus Christ has been identified. We'll talk more about that next week. He's been identified as the Son of God. Are you with me? Now, in Matthew 17, verse 5, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain. And when they got there, what happens? Jesus was revealed in glory. On one side was Moses. And the other was who? Elijah, representing the law and the prophets. Until then, they had been relying on the prophets and the law, which was God's way of speaking to them. Through Moses, God brought forth the law. as his word to them. And then after that, the prophet started coming with a word from the Lord. And they all three were seen there with Jesus. Now, Peter says, not knowing what he's talking about, says, should we build a tabernacle for all three? That God is speaking through the Lord, God is speaking through the prophet, and speaking through Jesus. No. They vanished, and Jesus alone stood, and God declared, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. And Peter testified in 1 Peter that we were there at his investiture when the voice came from on high and point identified him and told us he's the one through whom God is speaking. He is God's last word. And God is saying that it is only through him that man can come. That's why the Bible says Jesus had to go back to those who were dead to hear again, because he's the last word, the only way, the only path to God. God's last word. If you don't take what Jesus is, who Jesus is, what he stands for, who Jesus is, the only way to God, and there is nothing more God has to see. There's no new revelation coming in terms of, after Jesus, another prophet, Muhammad, might come, or another Hindu. No. He said, he spoke once and for all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. God's last word. I said, as the word, he created all things. As the word, so he was there from the beginning of creation. As the word, he took on flesh. As the word, he revealed the Father to us. As the word, he is God's, the last thing God has to say to humanity. But I want to say that as the word, he remains till eternity. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. It says, he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He remains till eternity. So from beginning, doesn't have an end. If he had an end, he would cease to be God. But even in eternity, in the heavens, even as he has accomplished the work of what? Atonement. And his covered dripped in blood, he still stands as the same word who in the beginning brought all things into being and still stands in eternity as the same word of God. Jesus Christ reveals to us the mystery of God. Amen.